Again, I'm going to point out something on that song. It's interesting, the study that we've done, that Brother Heimer's taken us through, how this song kind of circles that around and talks about that cycle in it. But it says in the chorus, "More love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee." That there's a man in Scripture talking to Christ, and he's asking for him to Christ to heal his son, and Jesus tells him, "I'll heal him if you believe." And I'm paraphrasing all of this, but the man tells him, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." And I don't know why, but that one always sticks with me. And when I think about things that we need to ask Christ for in prayer, faith and more love for Him is one of those things we often neglect, that we often need to pray for the most. We are not going to be doing our normal study. We're going to be instead looking in John chapter number 11. We are going to be looking at prayer. And in John chapter number 11, we find Christ Himself praying. We have a lot of examples in the Scriptures, a lot of people we can follow, look towards, and we can learn a lot from. And as Paul himself writes, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We can follow all of those people as long as they're following Christ. Christ Himself is the ultimate example. So I want to take something from what Christ has done and look at that. Before we dig into John chapter number 11, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, this time to study Your Word and to be able to focus on prayer tonight. God, I pray that You would help us to grow in our love and in our faith of You, and that we would come out of here with a little bit stronger in our faith and our love for You in our prayers. God, I pray You would just work tonight and You would guide. I love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter number 11, we're going to start in verse number 1. I hope you like hearing the Scriptures, because we are going to read a lot of Scripture tonight. Because I want you to not... Because this event here in John chapter number 11 is one we know a lot. You've probably heard a lot taught on. But I never want to skip over the Scriptures. The Scriptures are honestly more important than what I could ever say. So John chapter number 11, verse number 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that, saith He to His disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that He had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes, that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which openeth the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, there's Jesus' prayer, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Again, this passage is a common passage, one we know well. But did you notice something in this passage? First off, there's quite a few things to notice. There's a lot we can find in this. But did you notice the amount of times that it pointed to Lazarus being dead? The people there were saying, Lazarus is dead. He's done. He's gone. John, writing this a couple of times and commenting, says he's dead. The man, Martha, whose brother is dead, they made sure that you knew he's dead. What is death but the end of hope, right? In the world's eyes, like human standard. They saw that there was, they saw no hope. They saw nothing, that nothing could be done. Even the people that were standing there was like, man, this guy, this Jesus, he opened eyes. He healed. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. Why could he not have healed this man to keep him from dying? They saw the end of hope. But Jesus here, in his prayer, he explains why he waited so long in this passage and in his prayer. He waited so long to prove a point. He waited so long. He waited till Lazarus was dead and gone enough to prove, so that he could prove a point to you and I and to those people there. In this prayer, he says, in verse number 41, says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. In this prayer, Jesus thanks the Father for hearing his prayers. Every prayer that Jesus made was perfect. Every prayer that Jesus made was heard, right? Was there ever a prayer that Jesus was ignored on? Every prayer was heard. Every prayer that he prayed touched the ears of God, his Father. Now, we might write this off. Well, Jesus was God. Jesus was the Son of God. He was perfect. He never sinned. Of course he was heard. But me, I'm not perfect. I'm not the Son of God. God doesn't always hear my prayers. Would that be true? No. In saying that our prayers are not heard, we deny what God has told us. We're really calling him a liar. Every prayer that a believer makes is heard by God. When we're praying, this is because when we're praying, we're not praying in our own righteousness. Were you saved by your own righteousness? No. Are you told by God to live by your own righteousness? No. Nothing we do is by our own righteousness. Our life, the way we live, the way we get to approach God is not of our own righteousness. It is on the righteousness of Christ. Why do we get to approach Christ or approach the throne of God? Because of Christ. Before, they do not get the access that we get. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us so that we can talk with him anytime and every time we want. And he promises to hear us, because when we're coming, we're not coming in our own righteousness. We're coming in the righteousness of Christ. We are the children of God. When we're praying as children to a perfect Father. God's love and his hearing of our prayers, they go hand in hand. Whenever God will stop loving you is when he'll stop hearing you. And guess what? God will never stop loving you. The attributes of God, studying who God is and what he is, who he is. One of the things that we talk about God is that he's infinite, right? Did God ever start? No. Will he ever end? No. He's an infinite being. His abilities, who he is also infinite. Therefore, his love is infinite. His love has no end. His love never began. His love never ended. It just always has. His love for you always has been. Therefore, his hearing of your prayers will never cease. There's never a time. As Jesus prays, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, we can say the same to God, that he has heard us. There's never a time where you cry out to God where he doesn't hear you. In the Psalms, if you read through the Psalms are an amazing book, an amazing songbook, because in it you have the heights of man, where he's doing the best, where he's feeling the greatest, where he's on the mountaintops and he's winning all of the victories. But then you also have psalms of doubt, where the psalmist is doubting God. And he's questioning God's love and God's care. And even in those where it said, where it's asking God, do you hear me? In the end of every one of those, he acknowledges, God, I know you. We may have times where we question, God, do you hear me? God and who he is, we can be confident in saying, I know you hear me. Not based on my merits, but based on Christ's. I want to look at a couple of facts in also in Jesus' prayer that they can correlate with our own. The point of the prayer. What was the point of Jesus' prayer here? Why did Jesus pray this? This is hinted towards in this whole passage, all 45 verses that we've read. What is the point of it? He says, I know that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Why did he pray? He prayed for the benefit of others. Jesus' prayers were always for the benefit of others. The way Jesus prayed is the way that we should pray. These are what we call intercessory prayers. We pray for other people and we're praying for their needs and their problems. We talk about all the people in our church family here that's sick or hurting or recovering from procedures, and we pray for them and pray on their behalf. That is what we ought to do. But often we ignore those kind of prayers because we're focused on our own needs, our own desires. We'll pray for ourselves rather than praying for others. A lot of times we will pray for our own benefit, but Jesus, when he prayed for others so that others could see and glorify and believe in him as a Savior. Notice how many times in this passage that is said that this was done for the glory of God. In verse number 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 15, I'm going to read a couple of them. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And other times he mentions that this was done in verse number 40. Shouldest thou see the glory of God? He says that this was done for the glory of God. The prayer, the intercessory prayers that we pray are for the glory of God, so that others will see the power of God. Jesus' utmost desire was for the salvation of others. He did not pray, notice in this prayer here, he does not pray for their physical well-being, but he prays for their spiritual well-being. We often will pray for the physical things, and we ought to. We should pray for the physical needs of people. But we will ignore so often the spiritual needs of people. What good is it if their body is whole and perfect, but their heart and their spirit is broken and dying? What good is it? There's, there's people that have the most perfect health, but they are some wicked, wicked people. Then you see other people who have the most horrible health, but they are some of the most holy and godly people. What is most important in life? The spiritual. What goes on after this life? The spiritual. We can pray for people to get healed and for their problems to go away and their body to get better. But what good is it if at the end of it there's not greater faith in God for it? You know, some people have only survived certain illnesses and problems because of prayer. And those are the times that we need to glorify God and make it known that we pray for them. How often have we prayed for God to do a healing and then never thanked him for it? That thanking him for it helps build our faith in him. recognizing that it wasn't the doctors. Because the doctors can, they have some incredible power with those medicines and machines. But they're all for naught if God doesn't allow it to work. And God doesn't help you. And when we recognize that, that helps build people spiritually. It helps build their faith. And we recognize the working of God in their life. And how often do we, when we pray for people, when we're praying for their healing, their physical healing, we ought to also pray, God, I know they're down and they're hurting and they're sick. Give them the physical and spiritual strength to get through this. Because the body, I think I've talked about this before, but the body is a three-part being. We are body, or the human. We are body, mind, and soul. We are three parts. When one part is suffering, the other parts often suffer too. When you're physically hurting, you're usually, you know, that's when we deal with depression and anxiety and worry and doubt. Those things are the spiritual and the mind, the soul and the mind that get affected by it. When your soul is beat down and exhausted, your body gets tired too. They're all connected. So while we pray for the physical, we must not forget to pray for the spiritual part of people too. Pray for one another that they grow spiritually. You know, we often, I say we, generally Christians in name worldwide. We are known, Christians are known for talking about people, griping about people. I don't know if you've seen any comedians or there was a couple decades ago country songs where they would talk about Baptists by name and some comedians and stuff, and they would talk about Baptists and they would always make the joke of Baptists being gossipers. And we talk about people and we gripe about people and complain about people. I'm not saying y'all do that. Y'all get to decide if y'all do that. But what we're doing in those things is we're ignoring the fact that we need to pray for those people. The people that are that are falling in sin and falling into sin and being wicked, those are not people that we need to gossip about and mock and make fun of. But rather, those are the people we need to lift up to God in prayer. There was a men's conference I went to a couple different times. And they had this skit that they did. And in this skit, they made fun of politicians. They would bring up politicians and make, you know, news-style statements about them, but mocking what they do and mocking them and their political stance or whatever. And the problem with that is that they would mock those people, but they would never pray for those people. Never pray for them. Those are the people we need to lift up in prayer. The ones that we have problems with. And not just political people, but people among us, our friends, our family, our coworkers that are the most, can be the most annoying. We pray for them rather than gripe about them. We pray for their spiritual well-being and their need. It's incredible the power of prayer and what it will do, what God will do because of it. But it's also incredible as to what it does for you towards that person. We need to pray for the spiritual. James chapter number 4, verse number 3 warns against this. He says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." A lot of times we'll pray because we want comfort and ease in our life. And we ignore the needs of others, physical and spiritual especially. Jesus was thankful that he was heard, not for himself, but for the benefit of others. We are heard, and the result of us being heard can also be for the benefit of others. There's a I've heard story after story after story from different Christians where they will be at work and a person who denies God, says there is no God, claims to be an atheist, will come to them in a time of need and say, "Will you pray for me?" And you know what that does? That's a glory to God. And that's a benefit to that person because they get to see the power of God. And I've heard many stories of where that has happened and people have now gotten saved because of that. Do not discount the power of prayer. A lot of times we can forget about the amazing fact of what prayer is. And we can get into a ritual where we pray, but we never think about what that prayer actually is. We get to talk to the Almighty God on the behalf of others. And we get to bring them to God. And we get to see God work in their life. And we get to see them come to salvation because of God's work. That is the point of Jesus' prayer here. We also find a proof that comes from this prayer. He says in this, at the end of verse number 42, it says, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus' answered prayer with Lazarus coming forth proved that he was sent by God. Likewise, our answered prayers prove that we are the children of God and we are sent by him. Jesus says in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said unto them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." In the end of Jesus' time on earth, right before he ascends, he gives the Great Commission five different times, at least, or four at least, possibly five different times. He gives the Great Commission, sending you forth to the world. The answered prayers that we have prove the power of our God. Y'all know the story of Elijah, right? Elijah standing on the mount with the prophets of Baal. And the prophets of Baal are dancing around this altar and they've gotten into a prayer battle. And the prophets of Baal are dancing around the altar trying to call down fire from Baal and trying to make this sacrifice and prove their religion. And Elijah's story is great because he sits there mocking him. And it's very funny the way he mocks him. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's on a trip. But when Elijah finally gets up there and it's his turn and they've done their horrendous stuff, Elijah gets up there, soaks the water, or soaks the ox, soaks the wood, soaks the rocks, makes a puddle around, a moat around it. And he goes to God in prayer. And I'm going to turn there. In 1 Kings, chapter number 18. I want you to see his prayer real quick. First Kings. Oh my goodness. First Kings, chapter number 18. In verse number 37, it says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." They were shouting, screaming, cutting themselves, trying to get their God to answer. Elijah just simply says, "God, prove yourself to them." What does God do? He answers that prayer immediately. Immediately and beyond what human mind could expect. The fire ate the rocks. I've played with fire quite a bit. I like fire. And as a kid, I always played with fire. But I've never seen a fire burn up a rock. I've protected a fire with rocks. I've tossed rocks into fires. make the ashes. But I've never seen a rock burn up. God, when he sent down this fire, burnt up the rocks. He answered in a way that no one could deny that it was him working. Why? For the exact reason that Elijah prayed, so that the people, that Israel, would see that God was the God. And he calls him the Lord God. When you see in the Old Testament the all caps Lord, that is Yahweh, Jehovah, the I am that I am. That is his covenant keeping name. Proves to them that, hey, you've turned your back on me, because at this point it is the worst Israel has gotten. This is a horrible time for the nation of Israel. They are wicked, wicked beyond understanding. Yet God said, I will keep my promise and I will bring you back. Who draws the loss? God. God has promised to, he has, the cross is a promise to all people of salvation. And he has promised to draw all men unto him. When we pray, when we see the answer to our prayers, it is proof towards our God and power to draw people to him. There is a debate in this world or in Christianity on whether or not God hears the prayers of the lost. Some say he only hears the prayer for salvation. Some say sometimes he hears them, sometimes he doesn't. It's a very interesting topic, very interesting subject, but which I can talk about for a while because I ramble. But there's one undeniable proof in the Bible about prayer, and that's this, that God has promised to hear his children. He may hear them, I think at times he does. But he has promised to hear his children when they pray to him, when they call out to him. Can our God lie? He is a God that cannot lie. If our God cannot lie and our God promised to hear us, is there ever a time where he will not hear us? No. He cannot lie. He's made a promise. There is never a time where he doesn't hear us. He has put himself under the obligation to hear our prayers. He wants to hear our prayers. Just as Jesus knew that his prayers were heard by God, we can know for a fact that ours are heard. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." By grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous is us. 1 John 5:14 through 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know," notice that, "and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the permit that we desire of him." Petitions that we ask of him. We know. We as believers do not have to doubt if God hears us. There are people who claim to, denominations who claim to pray to God, and they will drag themselves on their knees for miles, beating themselves, trying to make themselves worthy of being heard, causing enough pain to themselves. What the prophets of Baal did on the mountain with Elijah. Trying to call out to God with pain and with suffering and with repentance, or, you know, so-called repentance. Repentance is what it is. They hope that they not hope, but they wish that their desire, that they're heard by God. We as believers, as sons and daughters of God, can know that we are heard of God. When I say, "Dear Lord," I know that His ears perk up and He's listening to me. You don't even have to start a prayer with "Dear Lord." You can just say, "Hey, this is going on. Help me with it." And He'll help you. What did Peter say when he was on the sea, drowning at sea? Did he lack eloquence with long words? No. He said, "Save me." And he was heard. The prophet standing before the king was being asked, "What is wrong? What do you need?" And he goes to God and he says a quick prayer, "Lord, help me." And then he talks to the king. Never left the king. That's the access we have to our God, and we can know that we know that we have that. When we pray for the point of the benefit of others. And when we pray, we get the proof that our God is there and that our God hears. In conclusion, have confidence and be thankful that God always hears our prayers. Even when we feel unworthy of being heard, He hears us based on the merits of Christ. Actually, when we feel unworthy of being heard and we pray to God, that's actually when He hears us the best. That's when we, not hears us the best, but that's when we pray the best. Humility is a requirement for prayer, but that's a whole different sermon. I'll have another hour to go on that. But I want to challenge you, for when you pray, pray for the benefit of others spiritually. And pray for the proof of God. That God is proven true in your life to you and to those around you. What we're going to do this tonight as we close is let's take a few minutes to just quietly, you can pray on your own, pray with one another, but let's pray for the spiritual development of the people around us. Name someone specifically. You know someone in your life that needs Christ. Somebody that needs salvation. Somebody that is saved but needs to come back to Him. Pray for those. Pray for those that are hurting physically in our church family. But also pray for them spiritually as they deal with their sickness and such. So let's take a few minutes and let's pray for that. And then we'll close and dismiss them.